Hi, this is Mike. Thank you for being a part of what God's doing at the Heights Fellowship. We hope you enjoy this message. We know it's not the same thing as being here in person, but we pray that God would move as you listen and as God applies this to your heart.
Waiting is hard. How many of you, if you're still waiting for something from God, I want you to raise your hand. If you're seeking God for something, whatever that is, many of you may not be able to define what that is right now. But I know we've all been in that situation where waiting on Him is hard, just like those 120 people in the upper room in Acts 1 that we've been working through are waiting on the Holy Spirit to fall on them. They're waiting, not knowing exactly what that's going to look like. Last week, we talked about these six ways that we can wait expectantly, continuously, righteously, courageously, patiently, and then ultimately, hopefully, on waiting on the Lord for what He's going to provide for us, what we can anticipate from Him in our waiting. So we're going to jump right in to the next six that I'm going to give you. And these are going to kind of build. The last two that we see this morning, you're going to see that they affect the other 10. And so we're going to build toward those last two ways that we can wait, because in everything we do, in waiting on the Lord for His guidance and direction, those last two cover all the other 10. But number 7 is wait obediently. It says, wait for the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Again, from Psalms 37:4. How many of you did your homework this week and spent a little time in Psalms 37? I saw one hand. The rest of you failed for the week. Okay, 1A. Go back. You get another chance, so you can keep going back to it. But waiting obediently, what do we know as we're waiting on God for something, whatever that something is for us that we're seeking Him about, what do we know to do? We should be obedient in what we already know to be doing. Instructions of which we're certain. You know, there's some things we don't have to think about. Matthew 6:33 tells us we should seek Christ first. He'll provide all the other things that we're seeking, but seek Him first. That's something we know. We can be obedient to that, to seek Him first. Proverbs 3:5-6 tells us to trust in God, and He will direct our paths. We don't have to figure it out. We can trust in Him to direct us, to guide us. Ephesians 6:1 tells us very clearly, honor your parents so things will be well with you. And that doesn't give an age. When you look at that instruction from both the Old and the New Testament, that we're to honor our parents. It doesn't say we're to obey our parents for all of our life, but we're to honor them. We know that. We can read that. James 4:7 tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. We can do that. We can be obedient to that. We can see that instruction. James 1:12 says, persevere under trial. When God has given you a trial to trust Him with, persevere in that. Put your faith and your confidence in who He is. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 tells us, rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the very next verse, tells us to pray without ceasing. Those are instructions that we can obey in the midst of our waiting. Colossians 3:2 says, set our minds on things above, not on things on earth. That's our circumstances, those things on earth. You know, God, what do you want to do? What are you going to do as I'm seeking you? Colossians 3:23, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. As we continue to wait on the Lord for answers and direction, we continue to do what we know to do. We work hard, not to please men, but to please God. Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. My strength in waiting is going to be from God. Ephesians 4:26, be angry, but don't sin. See, there's sometimes things that we should be angry about, but we shouldn't sin in that anger. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Those are instructions that we can obey in the midst of our waiting, and there's so many more. Those are just a few. Number eight, we can wait confidently. Because of his strength, I will watch for you, for God is my stronghold. When David wrote this, the his in that verse is his enemy. It's because of his strength, I'm going to watch for you, God, to show up in my life. Because of the stuff I'm dealing with, the enemies I'm having to deal with, I'm going to watch for you because I know you're going to show up. I'm confident that you're going to be here for me when I need you most. Confidence breeds confidence, especially with the Lord. The more examples, the more times we experience God showing up in our lives and giving us that direction, giving us those answers that we're looking for, then we can believe he's going to do it again. As followers of Christ, our confidence should not be in our own intellect, skills, or successes, but instead in the one in whom we put our trust. That's where our confidence should be. 1 Samuel 17:41 through 47. I want to give you a picture of what that looks like in being confident in the Lord. This is the story of David. It says he took his stick in his hand and chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag which he had, even in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Then the Philistine came on and approached David with the shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy with a handsome appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." That picture of David taking on Goliath, the giant, the one who had never been defeated, gives us a picture of what our confidence is, where it should come from. Why did David feel confident? He's a kid. Well, if we read those verses leading up to that passage I just read to you, it shows us David had already done battle. He had already trusted God in many things. It says he had killed the bear. He had killed the lion, protecting his own sheep. God had allowed him to do that. And so we see when he faces this giant in his life, he's representing not just himself, but he's representing the whole nation. But his confidence was in the Lord, not in his own skills, not in his own instruments of battle. Because Goliaths were bigger and better. But David's trust was in the Lord. Number nine, wait silently. David says this in Psalm 62:5, "My soul, wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from him." This little book that I have with me, it's by Chuck Swindoll. It's called Intimacy with the Almighty. Next to the Bible, that book has impacted my life more than any other book I've ever read. It's 77 pages long. I found it over 20 years ago. But it talks about these four disciplines. If we really want to be intimate with the Almighty, we really want to connect with him, we have to create simplicity in our life. We have to get rid of the stuff, the distractions. We have to be silent before him. We have to learn that that's okay to be silent, not just in our the noise, the audible noise around us, but in our activity. Find a place to get alone in solitude. And then ultimately surrender those things that hinder us. Chuck Swindoll said this, listen to these words as I read through them. This comes from Intimacy with the Almighty. Noise and words and frenzied, hectic schedules dull our senses, closing our ears to His still, small voice and making us numb to His touch. Noise and crowds have a way of siphoning our energy and distracting our attention, making prayer an added chore rather than a comforting relief. If the pace and the push, the noise and the crowds are getting to you, it's time to stop the nonsense. Find a place of solace to refresh your spirit. Harassed by life, exhausted, we look about us for somewhere to be quiet, to be genuine, a place of refreshment. We yearn to restore our spirits in God, to simply let go in Him and gain new strength to go on living. But we fail to look for Him where He is waiting for us, where He is to be found, in His Son, who is His Word. Or else we seek for God because there are a thousand things we want to ask Him and imagine that we cannot go on living unless they are answered. We inundate Him with problems, with demands for information, for clues, for an easier path, forgetting that in His Word, He has given us the solutions to every problem and all the details we are capable of grasping in this life. We fail to listen where God speaks, where God's Word rang out in the world once for all, sufficient for all ages, inexhaustible. Or else we think that God's Word has been heard on earth for so long that by now it's almost used up, that it is about time for some new Word, as if we had the right to demand one. We fail to see that it is we ourselves who are used up and alienated, whereas the Word resounds with the same vitality and freshness as ever. It is just as near to us as it always was. Those words from Chuck Swindoll, we can achieve. I hope those rang true with you, because every time I read them, they do with me. My life gets so crazy, it's hard to get silent enough, to get alone enough, to actually hear from God. Because I'm hearing from so many other sources in my life that distract me, that keep me from getting silent and just hearing His instruction. To wait silently is a waiting of great focus and great intensity. When we get alone with God and get silent and just listen, wait for Him, and we do it over and over and over again, it requires focus and it becomes intense and listening to His Word. Here's some encouragement for waiting silently. Be willing to be patient to wait on God's provision. Listen more than you talk in prayer. That's a temptation to all of us. Well, I pray every day. 5 minutes, I'm done. Sit and listen. Be silent. Let the Holy Spirit speak into your life. Create an environment of silence. That's a challenge. That's a challenge for all of us. Create that environment. Where can you go to be silent away from the world's distractions? Persevere in waiting without suggesting. Have you ever tried to help God with your suggestions? Persevere in the waiting without giving Him suggestions. He knows what you need. Understand what God has for you is better than your best creation. Number 10. Wait unashamedly. May those who wait for Thee not be ashamed through me. O Lord God of hosts, may those who seek Thee not be dishonored through me. O God of Israel. Psalm 69:6. during David's waiting time, he didn't want to be ashamed for being in that circumstance of waiting on God. There were probably people around him who were expecting, David, you're in charge, you're leading us. Let's make a decision, let's do it. But David's waiting. And when we have to wait, we need to wait unashamedly in the midst of that. Because waiting is hard. Often while we are waiting on God's direction, provision, or revelation, others are watching us wait. Maybe our family. How am I going to respond to God in the midst of my waiting on Him to give me direction and answers? My family's watching. How am I going to do that? Am I just going to give up? Take things into my own hands? My friends, my colleagues, those closest to me, they're watching. And even those unaware, they're not even sure, they don't know what you're doing. But they're watching you wait on the Lord. And that speaks loudly to them, that you can be patient, that you can do this unashamedly. Number 11, these last two, as I said earlier, are probably the most powerful, that we can wait through the midst of all these other circumstances. Wait scripturally. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. Psalms 135 through 6. Now see, when we read that, we don't really understand that concept of the watchman. But why David used that as an example for waiting on his word is because there was an anticipation in God's word that he's going to provide that answer. Those are his words. And the watchmen in their culture, like they were the graveyard shift. The watchman was the one that was protecting the city. And they couldn't wait till the sun came up. Their anticipation of getting that answer, I get relief. I've made it through the night. I've made it through the darkness. So when David says, more than the watchman for the morning, that's what he's talking about. This anticipation that the dark's almost over. I can't wait to get that answer, get that relief. John 1, verse 1 and verse 14 say this about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So when David talks about waiting scripturally, waiting on the Word, ultimately he's talking about waiting on the Messiah who would come from David's family. In the immediate time, he was waiting on the words that David had already received from God. Psalms 119 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. David would have known that verse. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. David penned these words. He memorized the words. That's a challenge to us, treasuring them in your heart, knowing them, because you don't always have the book to carry around with you. Because I don't want to sin against you, God. So I'm going to treasure what your word says so I can use it. Psalms Psalms 119:16. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Remember last week, the verse we looked at in John where Jesus promises the helper. You know, one of the things that the helper is going to do, the Holy Spirit is going to provide for those in that room in Acts. Those 120, when he falls down, he's going to help them do what? Remember what I said. I'm going to delight in what I read in God's word and what he tells me to do. Who he tells me to be. And I'm not going to forget that. The Holy Spirit is going to help us help them remember. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. Psalms 119:25. Are you in a position that you need reviving? Are you a little down right now? As you're waiting on the Lord, are you struggling in that? God's word can revive you, can provide life for you. Psalms 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It can give us direction for the next step. It can give us direction for the path we should be on. The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I thank God for that, because I'm the simple. I need it to be simple. I need instruction and guidance that's easy to follow. David did too. The last one, number 12, wait prayerfully. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Answer me in your faithfulness, in your righteousness. Psalm 143:1. As we wait and pray, we should join together with others who prayerfully are waiting. Those in your circle, those who you're closest to, who you talk to often about spiritual things, they may not be going through the same things you're going through and are waiting on. But we can share each other's waiting. Include them in that. Challenge and encourage each other in the waiting, to persevere, to continue to talk to God. Listen more than we talk. Think about those 120 people in the room in Acts 1 that are fixing to receive the Holy Spirit. They're together. They're being obedient to the instructions of Jesus to go and wait. Wouldn't it have been a shame to have been disciple number 79 of the 120 and have decided to go away and pray alone? Look what he or she would have missed. See, sometimes we do that though. Well, I'll go do this all by myself. As you're waiting, allow other people to wait with you, to pray with you, to seek God's word about what you're waiting on. You don't want to miss when the Holy Spirit shows up. Have you noticed that God seldom does what you want, when you want, or how you want? You know, that's been my story. Even as I've learned that it's critical that we wait on the Lord, I have an idea what I'm waiting on. I have a scenario that I think is going to play out. But here's been my experience of being a believer for 52 years. It almost never happens that way. It just doesn't. God's creative. He knows what's best for us. That's why we have to persevere in the waiting, because however, when you wait on him, you're never disappointed with the wait, ever. David understood that. All these verses that we've been working our way through that David wrote, he understood that about the wait. Because if you go back and read all of these psalms in total, The Lord shows up every time, not sometimes, every time. And David's experience was, if I'm willing to hang on to his word, if I'm willing to listen to him, I'm willing to be obedient, and I'm not ashamed of waiting, he's going to show up. Andrew Murray said this, all the exercises of the spiritual life, our reading and praying, our willing and doing, have their great value, but they point the way and prepare us in humility to look to and depend upon God himself and in patience to wait for his good time and his mercy. D.E. Host said this, it is morally impossible to exercise trust in God while there is failure to wait upon him for guidance and direction. The person who does not learn to wait upon the Lord and have his thoughts molded by him will never possess that steady purpose and calm trust, which are essential to the exercise of wise influence upon others in times of crisis and difficulty. You know, as a disciple of Christ, I want to be successful in that. I want to have influence in the lives of other people. I want to be able to impact them. I want to be able to invest in them. It's often I have to wait to see how best to do that. It's always worth the wait. So how do you need to wait this week? All 12 of them are right there listed. How do you need to wait moving forward in what you're seeking God about? Because sometimes you may have to be doing all 12 of them. Sometimes you may just have to really focus on, I need to be in God's word. Just let him give me direction. Sometimes I just need to be obedient to what he's already told me to do. And in that obedience, he'll show me what the next step is. Let me pray, and I'm going to ask Joy to come up after I get through. God, thank you so much for the opportunity, again, to share not only from what your word says about waiting on you as we seek you, but from my own experience as well. How important this has become in my life to trust you in the wait. So God, I pray over this group of Christ followers this morning that God, these last 2 weeks have challenged them and encouraged them to wait on you, to not take things in their own hands, but to seek you with all their hearts, with all their minds. Be patient in waiting, to include others in their waiting. God, help our waits be such that it influences and impacts and invests in the lives of others. And in your name we pray. Amen.
Well, thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at the Heights Fellowship. If the Lord led you to make a decision or you have a question or a need, we want to hear from you. Send us an email at the email listed below, info@theheightsfellowship.org. And we will join you in praying as you take a step forward on your journey with God.